episode R4-D3. This place is so dead. I'm obviously not talking about our podcast or our website, moviesonup.com, where you can actually email us at moviesonup@gmail.com. If you have mastered the art of the Google search, you can tell us what tagline that movie was from. It was a movie that we talked a little bit about last week, and Dave didn't really like it. Dave, do you have a guess for what it is?
I'm awful with taglines. I truly am. I don't really know taglines.
Truth be told, like I knew that I wanted to do this movie, and I looked at a couple different taglines, and there were a couple.
Oh,
that,
if I didn't like it, I think I know what it is.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let's just, I tell you what, he's mouthing it to me right now, and he absolutely got it right. So it is just that easy.
Yeah.
So yeah, folks, just get the video version of this podcast, read Dave's lips, put that in an email, send it off to moviesonup@gmail.com. And, if you do it and you're the only one, you'll win a prize package. If you're not the only one, if we like you the best, we'll pick you and send you a prize to be determined later.
And here's the thing. We got an email just today for saying RoboCop, but that was from episode one, which last week was episode two, so
fairness,
now we're episode three.
It was R2-D1.
So we're like two episodes behind, so we appreciate the effort, but maybe you'll get a prize.
I was going to say, I'm not even ruling out giving that guy a prize.
Maybe.
I like the fact that people are going back into our back catalog, because there's, I mean, it's
our extensive back catalog.
Yeah, of a couple episodes, and you know, if we were to put up a back catalog that included our pilot episode, it's absolutely worth going to listen to, because we did have that sweet interview with Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, I talked a lot in that episode.
I was just going to say, like, it's really hard for Dave to talk with his mouth full, but
it is.
And speaking of having your mouth full and having your pockets full, again, at the box office this week, I don't think it's a really big surprise what came in number one for with a third week in a row?
The third week in a row, Marvel's Avengers took in $55 million in its third weekend. That's not even a 50% drop off from its second weekend, which was only a 50%
drop off. Drop from the first.
So they're at a quarter of what their first weekend was, which is insane that it's still making this much money.
$50 million is a quarter of what they opened.
Opened with, yeah. So it's just domestically, it's coming up on $500 million. It'll be there this weekend. It's now fourth all time when you include international, because it's well over $1 billion. But a large part of that, no real competition. Number two this week was Battleship, which we kind of called last
week.
Was
number two.
I set the over under on what Battleship would make at $31 million. I bet the under. My co-host here bet the over.
I took the over, and I was confident.
What do you think the final number was?
Well, I'm guessing by that smug look you have on your face that it wasn't over. Gosh, did it get 30?
No, I overshot it. Jeez. I thought it was going to be right in that 29-30 range. 25.
You know what? Let me first start off by giving you credit for picking a good number, and then let me extend that credit to the American public. By taking the over, I did not want to see Battleship make a lot of money. I think the movie looked ridiculous, and I am glad that the public said, "Nah, I'm not putting up with this."
I don't think it was marketed. All you could market was the explosions and the stuff blowing up.
And I was afraid that would be enough to have it make
Avengers has all that.
Yeah, it does. But I was thinking that maybe people would have said, "Well, I've had 2 weeks to see Avengers, and I've seen it twice. It's summer. It's time to watch dumb blow up movies." And as we said before, I really think that as movie going public, we should demand more from our summer movies rather than just dumb blow up movies. And I think that by not going out, we vote with our pocketbooks, and people voted that Battleship just looks dumb.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, I didn't see it, so
no,
I can't really.
It was probably just guessing without reading anything about it or seeing it. Probably really lazily written, probably very awful dialogue, probably wooden acting. I mean, you have Rihanna. She's not an actress.
Brooklyn Decker.
Brooklyn Decker, who's a model, who she's also in What to Expect When You're Expecting. She had a rough weekend. And then Taylor Kitsch, who, this might be the end of Taylor Kitsch.
Do you think they're going to execute him?
They should.
I really don't think he's poisoned these two movies. I mean, I think Battleship looks terrible, and I don't care who you put in it. I think you could put in Michael Fassbender, and I don't think he would make that movie any better.
The decision-making is there. Like, you can't tell me he read the Battleship script and thought, man, this is good.
Do you think Liam Neeson did?
Liam Neeson? Here's what I think happened with Liam Neeson. I think when his wife died, instead of dropping off casseroles, people just dropped off scripts, and he made it his vow to make every script that was dropped off at his wife's funeral.
Yeah, you might be right.
Because he's made movies nonstop, and some are good, some are awful. It's just, I don't know that he knows how to say no anymore. I truly don't.
Well, maybe not, though, but the guy's been in enough movies that were very good.
I know.
I think if he wants to make a bunch of just crap right in a row, well, he's earned that right. But by the same token, what I mean is I don't think that, Liam Neeson's a good actor. He couldn't save Battleship. This Taylor Kitsch, maybe he's not a great actor, but even if he was not. Battleship was just, that thing was doomed to failure with the budget that it had, the time that it came out, the fact that it's based off a board game that no one plays anymore. It just...
I'm not saying he's responsible for it, but when you look at you're pitching an action movie or you're pitching a male-led movie and Taylor Kitsch's name comes up, obviously what you're going to think about is the last two mega bombs he was in.
Yeah, but
that's his resume. Like, whether it's his fault or not, that's what's on his resume.
But, think about it like this way. Who could you really replace him with? The movie had a budget of $200 million anyway. You weren't going to be able to go get Will Smith. You know what I mean?
I don't understand why it was like that, but that's enough. I mean, we spent more time on Battleship than anybody needed to. Number three was The Dictator. Kind of a weak opening considering what they expected. Dark Shadows in at number four. What to Expect When You're Expecting, the other wide release this week, only at $10 million. Opened up number five.
Kind of thought that maybe being kind of the new rom-com that it might do a little bit better than that.
I really did. I truly thought it would. I thought it could challenge for number two because you got J-Lo, you got Brooklyn Decker.
The aforementioned.
Elizabeth Banks, Anna Kendrick. Like, that's just the women. Like, I thought it would challenge, but people don't want that right now. So... Best Exotic Marigold Hotel in its second wide weekend jumped up to number six. Hunger Games at seven. Think Like a Man's finally falling at eight. The Lucky One at nine. And the Pirates Band of Misfits at 10. That rounds out the box office.
While we're still there, I did go to see The Dictator this week. And full disclosure, I liked the other two movies. I really liked Borat. Thought it was hilarious. I even laughed during Bruno. I thought that it was funny. I was curious to see how this one was going to go. I had a bit of a bad feeling about it. It was obviously the first character from Sacha Baron Cohen that wasn't developed on the Ali G show. It was,
and it was the first scripted one.
Yeah, exactly. It was the first scripted comedy that he was going to do. So I thought, well, this could either be really good or really bad. And it was closer to the really bad than it was the really good. I think its score on Rotten Tomatoes and, obviously, the relatively weak showing that it had is kind of a referendum on that. But, I mean, if you're a huge Sacha Baron Cohen fan, maybe it's worth a watch at some point. But I would not beat yourself up to get into the theater and see it.
See, I'm weird with Sacha Baron Cohen. I say I'm a Sacha Baron Cohen fan.
But you don't like any of his
movies. I like the guy. I love what he does. I've never seen Bruno, or I've never seen Borat. I've seen some of Bruno. Never seen the Ali G show. Haven't seen... the Ricky Bobby. Like, I don't know that I've seen
Did
him
see
in a
Hugo?
Movie. No, I didn't. Jeez. I don't think I've seen him in a movie, but I like what he does. I like just, I enjoy Sacha Baron Cohen.
Well, I mean,
but I can't say that I've ever seen him.
I guess
anything.
If I were to suggest one thing, the Ali G show is pretty funny, but I would say, just watch Borat. I mean, that to me, and you hate to say it, in terms of him, vehicles for him, I think he kind of, he was good in Hugo, but it was nothing close to what he normally does. That, to me, he peaked with Borat, and I think he's really kind of fizzled out now.
I don't know. I'm excited to see him as Freddie Mercury.
Oh, he looks like Freddie. I think
I think he's super talented. That's the thing, is I think he's really, really talented. I just think he falls into a hole, and once he branches out of that, which I think that Queen movie will do, I think he's going to have an awesome career.
Okay, now we'll go ahead and run down some of our main stories for this week, of which there are quite a few. The first one, and I'm sure if you've, you know, unless you've been living under a rock in a cave that has paintings in it of aliens, you probably know that Prometheus is hitting the theaters. What you may not know is there is already kind of a sequel in the works. Prometheus is This Time It's War, and I mean it. Damon Lindelof means it too, dropping hints that Prometheus was never intended to be a standalone. Now, the movie, the prequel to Alien, let's just call, you know, we'll call a spade, but this movie hasn't even come out yet. It's the second week of June, and we're already talking about a sequel to that. Are we maybe just putting the cart before the horse a little bit?
I don't... Ridley Scott thinks like this, though. Blade Runner was always supposed to be more than one movie. Like, that's just Ridley Scott's thought process, and I think that's the thought process in a lot of sci-fi movies overall. Like, I think a lot of people, when they create these universes, like, you create this sci-fi universe where you can do whatever you want, I think a lot of times they have it planned to where they know where they want to go next. Whether they get to go there or not is another thing, but James Cameron said he had 3 Avatars planned before the first one even came out.
And now he's got 4 Avatars planned.
Yeah, so it's just like, I think with sci-fi, it's very common, because you are creating a world and you do have less rules to follow, that I'm kind of for it. I'd rather have a film come out and the makers have a sequel idea in mind for when they get greenlit than just make the movie to be a standalone and then it makes a ton of money and it's like, oh crap, what are we going to do for the sequel?
Try and conjure up a sequel.
Yeah.
But doesn't, like, I don't think this is going to happen to Prometheus. I think it's going to be, you know, pretty successful, but nothing pisses me off more than something that's supposed to have a sequel and it's written to have a sequel, and then all of a sudden, like,
that's where you run into I don't like that.
Yeah,
I don't mind it in a second one if the first one's so good that you can secure 2 more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind the second one leaving you with that because the third one's coming.
Yeah, you know there's gonna be a third.
Don't leave the first one open ended and then it bomb and you not get that, because that's bullshit. That's not fair to the
fans, that
to
are,
anybody,
yeah.
Really. So no, I agree there. Just as long as it's not left open-ended. I want Prometheus to stand alone on its own.
Anytime I hear a movie is going to be a prequel, I judge on if it's successful, if it makes me want to go out and watch the following film. You know, I would say if Prometheus is going to be really successful, it'll make me want to immediately pop in Alien and watch that. And I was hoping to get that from this movie. I'm a little bit leery about it maybe not dovetailing quite as nicely into the source material.
And that's where
I
it gets tricky, is when I think that's why they've downplayed the prequel to Alien as much as they can, because sequels are one thing. Sequels to prequels are a whole other thing, because you're risking ruining the timeline that's already established.
There's another Ridley Scott movie that you may or may not be familiar with. It happens to be a sci-fi picture, and looking at a sequel for that, and it is Blade Runner, the aforementioned Blade Runner. The original screenwriter is back on board, and they're looking to continue in that world.
Yeah, there's been talk for a while about, there was talk about a sequel, and then there was talk about a reboot, and then Ridley Scott came back, and there was more talk about a sequel. Now it seems like it's actually going forward. Hampton Fancher, who wrote the first one, is now on board for the second one. And like I said earlier, they had originally intended it to be more than one movie. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you're going to have a 70-year-old Harrison Ford out there, because this doesn't center on Harrison Ford's character from the first one.
Well, it really couldn't. I mean,
exactly. And it's not like it's just picking up right after Blade Runner. This is taking place several years after. So, I don't know. Blade Runner, it's such a weird movie, because there's been so many variations of it.
Yeah,
of the same
true.
Movie
yeah.
over the years. That
it's like if you Army say of Darkness.
If you say you've seen Blade Runner and I say I've seen Blade Runner, we may not have seen the same movie.
Yeah.
So, it's just a weird one, but I'd be on board with a sequel, especially, I don't mind... That is such a classic. It's a great story. It's a cool story. I wouldn't mind another franchise.
Actually, and sometimes, like, when movies we'll go back and do prequel versions of something, and the technology difference is so much, like sometimes that looks a little weird, but this is supposed to be later. So the fact that everything is going to look cooler now, that'll fit. Something that it not only looks cool, but it sounds cool. We've talked about it a little bit earlier, is Edgar Wright's new project, The World's End, which was supposed to start in September, but Marvel was saying, hey, wait a minute, we got you for the Ant-Man movie. So which of the two is going to come first?
Yeah, and it's starting to look like World's End will film in September as planned, which is great. Edgar Wright has been talking, and he kind of let it slip that he would like to do both of them by the end of the year, or at least start on them. So there was this big question of whether Marvel wants Ant-Man to be started soon, and then he'd have to do World's End after that. But it's looking like he's going to have the time to do World's End in September as planned, and then move on to Ant-Man either late this year or early next year. But it's greenlit. It's happening. This Ant-Man movie's been in talks for a long time. He wrote the script with Joe Cornish, who did
Attack the Block,
my favorite movie of last year. I mean, they worked on this script together. They also wrote last year's Adventures of Tintin. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they have a good track record of writing, and Wright has his acting pedigree, or directing pedigree. But, yeah, it looks like Ant-Man is actually going to happen now. So, I would think the ball will get rolling on pre-production, and casting should come in the next month or two.
And that could even be, you know, with Marvel pushing for the Ant-Man to go forward. Maybe that's an indicator that we might see Ant-Man in, you know, an Avengers sequel, which I know there were some people that were really kind of burned up that he wasn't in the first one.
Well, I mean, there are storylines that you can't do without Ant-Man.
Right.
And it's interesting because he's not a mainstream wide appeal character. So it almost would seem to make more sense to introduce him in an Avengers movie and then spin him off into his own movie. But with Edgar Wright on board, I'm sure the script is great. Hank Pym is an awesome character that I could just see. Once I heard Edgar Wright was writing an Ant-Man movie, he's perfect for that character.
The tone will be right.
Yeah, the tone will be right. It's not going to be... I think it'll be so different from Thor and Captain America and Iron Man's. I think it'll be so different that it will stick out, and it will be able to find its footing.
Which is fine. I think all those movies can have their own distinct personality, and then it just makes it that much stronger when, more than likely, in 2015, they all get together to do Avengers 2. Speaking of some guy that can put his own tone on a particular film, Duncan Jones is signed on to take on the Ian Fleming biopic. Ian Fleming, of course, the man that wrote all of our Bond novels.
You know what? I've never seen a Bond movie. I've seen parts of the one with the running and jumping on the buildings. The first one with Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
I saw the parkour part. Yeah.
Because you're a closet parkour fan.
Oh, we'll not closet. Later. I'm a big time parkour fan. But, yeah, like I've never seen a full James Bond movie. I'm so excited for this movie. Not just because of Duncan Jones. Like, Ian Fleming was James Bond to an extent.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like, he was in the Navy. He was a known womanizer. Like, he had these adventures that James Bond is probably more autobiographical than a lot of people would believe. Mm-hmm. And Duncan Jones...
The book James Bond is probably more biographical. I think that there is a difference between the book character
that's true. But it's based on a book called The Man Behind James Bond by Andrew Lissette, and it's written by Matthew Brown. They're hoping to go into production within this year, in 2012, and it has the full support of the Fleming estate. So I think it's cool to see Duncan Jones do this because he has done two heavy sci-fi movies. Now he's doing a biopic. Like he's going as far away from sci-fi as you can, but it's still going to be the same thematically, I think, because Moon and Source Code centered on this one guy and how they dealt with the world around him. And it's going to be the same with Ian Fleming. Like, he knows how to work actors, and I'd like to see Fassbender play Fleming.
Naturally.
But, I honestly think he's good casting, not just because.
Is there any casting you think Fassbender would be bad for?
Storm. But, no, like, I'd like to see Duncan Jones gets the most out of his guys. he takes good actors and just makes them great. And this kind of movie can show that. And it, I'm excited to see a different kind of movie. And I'm kind of hoping there's a little bit of Confessions of a Dangerous Mind to it, to where it's just so extreme that you're, it's like, that can't be real. I kind of hope there is, just because I think he'll pull it off. I'm excited for it.
I'm sure he will pull it off, and obviously with a new Bond film in the hopper, I think that'll create probably a little bit more buzz around this film than would normally occur. And Jones is very capable of getting the best out of his actors. He got quite a bit out of Donnie Darko, of course. Another film that got a lot out of his actor, although the actor really didn't technically appear on screen, Planet of the Apes, and the writer,
excuse me, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, no, that is correct. Although, I mean, Roddy McDowall acted his balls off in that fake beak. But the writer for Contagion, Scott Z. Burns, wrote Contagion, also The Informant and The Bourne Ultimatum, has been hired to write a sequel to The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and it's Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
I haven't seen the title. But
I haven't either. I'm just guessing.
I mean, this Burns has a pretty...
shitty.
No, it's pretty much when Steven Soderbergh wants to make a mainstream movie, he kind of comes to Burns. And I like Soderbergh.
I like Soderbergh too, but I mean, looking at these movies, Contagion, I thought was going to be awesome.
I liked it.
I really liked Andromeda Strain. I thought, well, just give me a newer version of Andromeda Strain, I'll be happy. Was not too thrilled
with
Contagion.
I love The Informant.
Informant was good. Bourne Ultimatum was the worst of the three. Terrible.
I enjoy all those despite Paul Greengrass. I think he tried his best to ruin them. But the original screenwriters of the first film, which I thought was great. I know you didn't like it.
No. See, that's where you're wrong. I give the impression that I didn't like Rise of the Planet of the Apes, but I loved it. I thought it was tremendous.
I thought it was fantastic.
And I thought Andy Serkis was just phenomenal.
I thought he should have gotten a nomination.
I think too. And I didn't watch the Oscars at all this year. Not that they cared.
Yeah.
But that was my boycott, that he wasn't nominated. Because without... And you know, you had said that James Franco is maybe not going to be involved in the sequel.
I don't think he needs to be.
No, I don't think that matters.
His arc is done. I don't want James Franco. I love James Franco. I thought he was good.
Yeah.
His arc's done. His character isn't needed.
Right. Take it or leave it. But as long as you have Andy Serkis, like, you can
have... Which they
do. Yes, you can have that movie. But, and we kind of mentioned it a little bit before, my barometer for whether or not a prequel is good is if it makes me want to go watch the next in line. And after Rise of the Planet of the Apes, of course I wanted to watch Planet of the Apes, because they dovetail together so well.
But there's such a jump from all these monkeys going into the woods to running the planet.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
but
there's a lot of gap in there that there I is. Think they can explain. And Rupert Wyatt, the director, he's back. That's huge, because the tone of that movie was brilliant.
Yes, it was
just
a great
movie. The way
movie.
That movie was handled. And the moment, like I said, I watch movies based on moments.
Yeah.
The moments that he had to hit, he nailed.
Yeah.
Without spoiling, the main scene with Caesar.
With monkeys.
Yes. He hit it 100% on the head. And yes, I'm on board for that. I want a second Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I'm just afraid that I thought Rise of the Planet of the Apes was going to suck. I thought it was going to be awful. I thought there's no way in hell.
It was a surprise. I think everybody did.
Well,
I think everybody had low expectations for it.
It was phenomenal. And I maybe this is me just being a little bit pessimistic, but I don't think there's any way that they're going to be able to duplicate that. And I don't want to see something, well, the last one made money, I guess we are. No, just leave it go. You don't have to sandwich something in there. Granted, there is a lot of time where there's a lot of ape action that happens.
Well, you know what, though?
But I can fill that in on my own.
I think they're approaching it well, because they did lock up Serkis right away. They locked up Rupert Wyatt. The screenwriters that did the first one were hired to do do a draft. So any of their ideas on where they wanted to go from their original story, they're laid out for Burns to look over. And he's got a track record of doing these movies with mass chaos. Like, he can do, you know, Contagion was an outbreak movie.
Yeah.
I thought he handled well. So he can add that element to it. And he writes on a mainstream scale, but, you know, they're not, like The Informant and Contagion, yeah, they were mainstream movies, but they had that feel to them. I think they'll fit Wyatt's directing style perfectly.
I mean, I certainly hope so. Like, I'm not rooting for the movie to fail. If it's going to be made, I'd like it to be made good. I just would like it not to be made.
I will go see Revenge of the Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Episode 2, Attack of the Clones of the Rise of the Planet of the... One screenwriter that we know probably won't be working on that movie is Aaron Sorkin. He has been hired to adapt Steve Jobs for Sony. So that it's going to...
Fuck you, Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll let you have that line.
No, Ashton Kutcher is currently getting ready to film an independently made Steve Jobs biopic with Josh Gad starring as Steve Wozniak. But that movie is called Jobs with a small J, big OBS. Instead of like iJobs, which would make more sense, Jobs. I hate anything play on like spelling. But enough about that movie, because nobody's going to see it now. Like, nobody...
Certainly not. Nobody's going to sit through two Steve Jobs
movies. Even people that were just going to sit through... They were anti-Ashton Kutcher Steve Jobs, but were going to sit through it because they like Jobs. They're just going to wait for the Sorkin one.
And why wouldn't you?
Yeah, but... And plus, the Sorkin one, Steve Wozniak's going to consult along the way. So it's based on the latest autobiography that came out right after he passed away. So, I mean, the source material is going to be better. It's obviously going to be better written because Sorkin, I'm not his biggest fan, but he's among the best of what he does.
His writing is tight. I mean, it really is. The guy does.
And his writing fits this perfectly.
Yeah.
I absolutely think it does. And I don't know. I'm not 100% interested in it, but I think it's a cool thing that it's happening.
It's a lot like The Social Network. I wasn't 100% interested in that either. But,
yeah.
You know, obviously that turned out pretty well. With there being two Steve Jobs movies, it's a shame because really...
Don't go there.
Oh, I'm going there. There can only be one. And in addition to having a Steve Jobs movie, Battle for Supremacy, Ryan Reynolds apparently is in talks to reboot the Highlander series.
Yeah, he's currently the front runner. They're just in talks now, but it seems like both sides are interested. Juan Carlos Fresnadillo, he's directing a script by Art Markham and Matt Halloway. So this Highlander reboot is coming regardless. Whether Van Wilder is the star of it or not is one thing, but it's going to happen. I don't think Ryan Reynolds is right for it, and I enjoy Ryan Reynolds.
I like Ryan Reynolds as well, but no, I really can't see that. And I don't want this movie to be made.
I do
at
because
all.
I like Highlander.
Why?
I don't.
Me too. But
I don't
why?
Think they hold up that great. I don't think they hold up as well. I think it's an awesome story. It's a great franchise potential. Like it's a great, you know, you can build off of it. I think you can get 3 or 4 good movies out of it. Even though you only got 2 out of the first time around.
Yeah.
But they don't hold up. I'm for it. I don't like the... If it is Ryan Reynolds, I don't like that casting, but I'm all for a reboot because I do like the story.
Is there not somebody on the island of... Oh, wait a minute. Let me play this game. Hey, Dave, do you know who I think would be awesome as McCloud?
He would do all right.
He would be just fine.
He would be absolutely perfect.
And he wouldn't even need a broadsword. He'd just wheel around his dong and just cut people's heads off.
Nah, he would be good. Like, I honestly think it is point taken because I don't think there's any role in Hollywood that Fassbender
wouldn't
be good at.
He is, I mean, he's half Irish, so that helps. Not that McLeod was Irish, but... At least he's from the area more so than Ryan Reynolds.
Actually, now that you say it, I would like him more as Highlander than as Batman.
Okay. All right. I'll take that. Let's Ryan Reynolds can be Batman. We'll get Michael Fassbender to reboot the Highlander franchise. And then both of those will probably end up being good. And when those movies come out, you might be able to roll on down to your Redbox and buy tickets for them.
I think this is a decent idea. Redbox is doing a test. They have this new thing to where not only can you rent DVDs for $1 a night, you can potentially buy movie tickets there, which I think there's a market for that because I know a lot of people don't want to do Fandango, but the way movies are becoming is these big movies are becoming such an event, even more so than they used to be, that you feel like you have to have tickets.
You have to get tickets in advance.
A lot of people won't do the online stuff. Where this fan with Redbox, you're actually swiping your card.
Yeah.
You're not typing your number in online. Mm-hmm. You're not doing all that. And I'd assume it's printing it out for you.
Yeah, I would.
So you're holding
on
to it. You're not using the QRC code on your phone or whatever it's called. Like, I think there's a market there. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's convenience. You know, people seem to be very high on the convenience factor, no matter what they're doing. So I could see people are already familiar with the red box, and if it can do a couple more things, then I'm definitely all for it. What do you think about their streaming platform that they're looking at?
It's so limited that I don't know what kind of dent it can do. Redbox is looking into setting up a streaming plan with just Verizon customers. Mm-hmm. So you're just going to your phone, and I don't know if Verizon has anything through Xbox or anything. So it's
not that I know.
You're limited to streaming just to your Verizon phone, which Netflix needs the competition, but
although
I don't think this is it.
Maybe if you had a Verizon card that you could put in a laptop, maybe you could stream
like
that. But I mean, yeah, still, it is a bit of a reach, and it's probably not going to put much of a dent in Netflix. But with that being said, and I love Netflix. I'm a Netflix whore. But at the same time, I would like to see somebody get in there a little bit so that Netflix doesn't quite treat me as much like I'm a Netflix whore. All right, that's going to do it for our big stories for the week. Now let's talk a little bit about some trailers, and we have a good one to start talking about right out of the shoot. There was a new trailer for the it was an extended trailer for the Spider-Man film.
It's the same
film.
Trailer, just an extra scene at the beginning, which still doesn't sell me.
I'll tell you why it doesn't sell you, Dave, because you have not, and I'm not.
I know what you're going to say, and you're wrong.
No, I'm right. Until you see that trailer in 3D, don't tell me that it's not impressive.
I don't do 3D, and it has nothing to do with. I am not interested in this Spider-Man movie. I'm just not, and I'm a comic book. You know, I'm not as much of a comic book reader now, but I grew up on them. I like comic book movies. I'm not on board with this. I don't know exactly why. I think it's because I don't see Garfield.
Are you petered out?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That was a good one.
That actually was. I'll give you credit for that. I like Andrew Garfield. I've liked him in everything I've seen him in. I can't see him as Peter Parker or Spider-Man. And the trailers I've seen aren't showing me that I'm wrong. And I don't want like a dark, gritty Spider-Man movie.
No, I don't.
The
think
trailers
I do
aren't showing me that I'm not gonna get one. I there's so many things. I
think they're kind of they got their toes in on the dark version of Spider-Man. I think they sort of tried that with Spider-Man 3, and it didn't go real, real well. And I think that everyone's trying to make the new Batman franchise, but I don't think that they're willing to go all the way with Spider-Man. And I think that's fine. And I think we both do. It doesn't need to be a Christopher Nolan Spider-Man
I don't want
movie.
It to be. It shouldn't be
right.
A Christopher Nolan
Spider-Man's
Spider-Man.
A little more fun of a character than Batman
and that's,
was.
And that's my thing with Andrew Garfield. In all the movies I've seen him in, I've never seen him crack a joke. I've seen him crack two in these Spider-Man trailers, and they don't come out. They just come out weird. They don't come out like smooth-talking, sarcastic. They just come out weird. I don't like him as Spider-Man.
Maybe, and the only thing I can say about that is there is something to be said for comedic timing, but maybe in a trailer, that's a little bit messed up.
But, I mean, it's the trailer's job to make me want to see the movie.
It is.
And every doubt I've had about that movie from the get-go, the trailers have not done anything to ease those off of me.
Just watch it in 3D.
I don't do 3D.
Do it. And then we'll reopen this discussion later after you see Prometheus in IMAX 3D.
I just don't know that I'll even see the Spider-Man movie. It just doesn't. I'm that not interested in it.
One movie that I can't really say I'm all that interested in is The Good Doctor, and I will say I was not interested in it at all. After watching the trailer, I am slightly more interested in it.
I'm really interested in it. I like Orlando Bloom. I really do, and he's not really found success without having a sword in his hand, but I think...
Or a bow, I mean.
Yeah, like, the whole premise is brilliant. Like, he's a doctor, this young girl comes in and flirts with him, he fixes her, misses her, so he poisons her medication, so she comes back.
Yeah,
and that sets up the movie, and it just... How far is he going to go? It just, it looks, I think it looks great.
The premise looks okay. Like I said, I was not on board with it at all when the first, I don't know, 30 seconds of the trailer, I thought, Jesus Christ, it's going to be Grey's Anatomy on the silver screen with your hunky heart throb. And I just didn't want to watch the rest of it. But I did. I'm glad I did, because the movie at least looks,
I think, know, it looks really good. And I think Orlando Bloom, I think it's a good role for him, because it's, he is so good looking, and he does look so clean that he looks like, it looks like he's going to bring so much heart to that character, to where you don't want him to do these awful things, and you just feel like he's doing them with the best intentions. Like, I think he can deliver that. It's one of those weird ones that comes to on demand, like in July, and then in theaters in August, but I'll probably see it on demand. I'd rather see it earlier. Because
you want to beat the crowds,
yes,
that are going to be lined,
yes,
up around
the
block
Orlando
to see
Bloom
the
good
doctor.
I think it'll be good.
One other movie starring a sweetheart that we just can't bear to see him do anything bad is Maniac, starring our very own Frodo Baggins as a maniac.
You know what? I don't know what my expectations are for this movie.
Can I give you some?
Well, I know the teaser makes it seem like it's a more like an American Psycho without the quirkiness
to it.
Yeah. Well, no, without the quirkiness to it. But I like Elijah Wood. You think of him in Sin City, where you'd never really seen him.
Creepy Kevin. He was good.
Yeah, you'd never seen him as like a bad guy, and then he is, and it's like, he's really creepy.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I have interest in this. The trailer did not much for me, but a full movie of creepy Elijah Wood? All right.
You know, and I have to admit, maybe I'm being poisoned on this film because it's a remake of a film that wasn't any good to start with. Actually, really, the only reason that I watched the first one was because I'm kind of a Tom Savini file, and he did the special effects makeup work for the original Maniac. And it was not a great movie. It really wasn't. It wasn't particularly shocking. There wasn't anything that they did in that movie that I thought, damn, they need to remake Maniac. So I can't, unless, you know, they try and go maybe a bit more art house with it.
Which I get that feeling that they will.
I get it. I get that impression too. And being it's premiering at Cannes, right?
Yeah. Well, the trailer did.
Well, okay.
I don't think I don't think the movie's playing. I think the trailer just premiered there.
Okay. Well, yeah, that would be kind of the more art house crowd, but I can't reconcile those two. And I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I don't think this is going
to
be very good.
I need to see more before I know. But you know what I don't need to see any more of? Battleground America.
Really?
Brought to you by a lot of the people behind You Got Served. Written by Marquise Houston, starring Marquise Houston.
In a Marquise Houston flick.
I love dance. I love hip-hop dance. Like, I love dance movies. You Got Served. I did not bring it, though. It did not serve me what I wanted. I did not get served.
It didn't just bring it?
No. But
is that one of them? I don't know. It didn't just bring it on? That's a cheerleader movie, but that's kind of, I don't know.
I like to bring it on. But You Got Served was one of the weaker of, it lacked, like, the heart that...
one of the weaker films of the dance canon.
Yes, like, it lacked the heart that... Stomp the Yard had.
Oh, absolutely.
It lacked the characters that the first couple Step Ups had. Like, it didn't have any of that. So I'm not really interested in
the intricate precision maneuvers of a drum line.
Drumline wasn't a dance movie. That's a drum movie. So,
but they did dance
back
straight,
didn't
they?
They drummed. But this one, I don't understand. I know you didn't watch the trailer.
No.
I don't know what this movie is supposed to be, because the whole premise is Marquez Houston gets community service and ends up like teaching a young dance crew of kids. So it's like, is it a kids movie? But then in the trailer, he's like making your mom jokes to the kids, and like there's stuff in there that it's like, yeah, those jokes wouldn't be in a kids movie. So I think it's a movie for adults centered around kids.
It's a movie that's gonna suck, and hopefully no one will see it. And, like, you know, we talked a bit, maybe spending too much time on Battleship, and I think that this is just sucking us right into the toilet
bowl. I do like hip-hop. Watch Stomp the Yard. Stomp the Yard was a really good movie.
Dave, I'm not going to watch Stomp the
Yard. It was a really good movie.
You know, I'm sitting across from a guy who's never seen any Bond movies or any of the Godfather movies, and he's telling me I need to go see Stomp the Yard.
It's a really good movie.
Fuck you. All right. I probably will end up seeing the Dodecapentathlon. Looks to me like a bit of an understated Step Brothers, but I like understated, and I liked Step Brothers, believe it or not.
I like the Duplass Brothers, so I will see it. I'm convinced Hollywood is better with the Duplass Brothers in it, especially Mark Duplass, who's, you know, their movies are great. Cyrus was great. This Dodecapentathlon was actually filmed before Cyrus, but then it's kind of just getting released now. It's a lot of the same themes as Jeff Who Lives at Home, which was their most recent release earlier this year. Just like that brotherly relationship, mm-hmm. because they are brothers making movies, but sure. They have a good track record. They made some really good movies. They have some stuff on tap that looks really good. And then Mark Duplass, he's on The League. He stars in Safety Not Guaranteed, which is one of my most anticipated movies this year. And he's in that love triangle movie where his dead brother's girlfriend wants to hook up with him, but he ends up hooking up with her lesbian sister. Forget the name of that movie.
I mean, doesn't that just happen all the time?
I think so, but I think they're good at taking stories that don't seem like something and making something out of them. So I'm definitely, I'll see Dodecapentathlon for sure.
Yeah, I think it'll be, and I hate to sound like a snob when I say it, but I do think it'll be a bit like Step Brothers if it was done, you know, if it was written for someone that was 25 and not 15.
Yeah, and I mean, for those who haven't seen it, it's just these two brothers ran this Dodecapentathlon in their youth, and now they're older and they have their own separate lives. They want to do it again.
They're still competitive.
See who win. They're still competitive. So I think it'll be funny, but I'll see it.
One movie that doesn't look funny at all, The Words.
I don't know what this movie is supposed to be.
I don't know. I watched the trailer.
I don't understand what's going on. I don't know what's going on in this trailer. It stars Bradley Cooper, and the synopsis makes it sound like A Murder of Crows. Remember that really bad Cuba Gooding Jr. movie where he steals a novel and then publishes it as himself, as his own? I think this is similar, where he finds
a book that was written by...
I think he finds a journal of somebody's and then writes it as his autobiography,
maybe? A journal that somebody wrote in the 1940s that just happens to be about his life, Bradley Cooper's life currently, so he publishes it and makes a lot of money.
Something like that.
And that alien from Avatar is pissed off at him.
I like Bradley Cooper, but I do not like Bradley Cooper's agent.
Oh, you know what? This looked a little bit like, I thought at some point in the trailer, I thought, oh, this is like Limitless, but
Limitless was so
bad. I'm not
bad.
Interested in it. It wasn't that, it really wasn't that bad. It wasn't terrible.
You should watch Stomp the Yard, but I really like Bradley Cooper, but if he keeps making The Words and this next trailer we're going to talk about. Speaking of, the next movie is Hit and Run, another movie. I don't know what's going on in it.
People are, they're running. There's a lot of running, a lot of driving.
Dax Shepard is with Kristen Bell, which is reality, which is depressing. But it turns out he's in witness protection because he testified against Bradley Cooper, who has dreadlocks.
Yeah, who looks nothing like Bradley Cooper.
And now Bradley Cooper comes out and it seems like, you read the synopsis, it sounds like it's like this crime thriller. And the trailer is just a dumb
comedy.
It's like
comedy. A slapstick comedy.
Yeah, so I don't know what is going on with this movie. I really don't.
You know, it almost seemed like they just had a bunch of ingredients, they put them together, and they came up with a movie. Let's take, wouldn't it be cool if you had Bradley Cooper and you put him in a comedy where he wears a wig and the dreadlocks, and that's what you came out with. And I can't imagine that this next movie that we're about to talk about came about any other way than that.
Let me tell you the plot of this movie. All right. There's a guy and a girl. They break up. A year later, they randomly run into each other in a grocery store. During that chance encounter, the grocery store is robbed at gunpoint.
Okay. Maybe now it's a stretch.
During that robbery at gunpoint, a tsunami comes.
Wait a minute, that's crazy talk.
And floods the grocery store, so they're all like on top of aisles. And then killer great white sharks get into the grocery store. This is a shark movie that takes place in a grocery store. It is called Bait. It is going to be the best grocery store shark movie ever.
Without a doubt, I think it will easily surpass the box office record for grocery store shark movie that was set by Grocery
Shark. I don't really think you get how awesome this trailer looks. You know what movie this reminds me of?
No, I tried to guess earlier and I was wrong.
It's a movie called Donkey Punch. It's a British film from a few years back.
Yeah.
Just like Bait is a British film now. But Donkey Punch, the maneuver of Donkey Punch is when you're railing a chick from behind and then you punch her.
Railing means to have sex with.
Yes. And then you punch her in the back of the head.
For our under 18 listeners.
You punch her in the back of the head when you're about to ejaculate and she clinches up. Well, this movie Donkey Punch was about a group of young 20-somethings on a boat. A guy donkey punches a girl, and she dies. And then that sets everything in place. Thing is, that movie sounds ridiculous, and the trailer made it look ridiculous. It's a really good movie. It was dark. The characters were well done. Nothing about that movie should have been good, but it was actually really, really good and had one of my favorite death scenes ever in movies.
And like, it's not, spoiler alert, it's not the scene where the girl gets donkey
death. No, that there's a much better scene than that. But that's how Bait seems to me, where it looks like, this is ridiculous, there's no need, this should be a movie. But then there's elements in the trailer that I think, this might actually be decent.
I think that we're just setting such low, well, at least I'm setting such low standards for it that if it does anything other than give me testicular cancer, I'll say, oh, hey, this wasn't so bad.
I think it'll be good. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be, it's British, and they do, the difference between like American and British is there's characters in their horror movies. Even their bad horror movies have characters. And what Americans miss is that when somebody dies, it actually means something.
You feel bad.
Yeah, whereas British horror movies really handle that well. Like, when a character dies, it makes an impact, which you don't get. And I think, if nothing else, this movie, I mean, you have this couple that is so, you know, they broke up and you have this strife with this guy that was trying to rob everybody. I think there's a lot there that I
and
think
strife it, with a shark.
And the sharks.
Yeah.
I think it'll be good.
Well, you know what? And it might be. And if it's good, I'll be the first to say, congratulations, Dave. You hit it on the head. But I think a movie we can both agree on that looks like it'll be fun. It's going to have some horror elements. You Can't Kill Stephen King.
I randomly stumbled on this trailer. I don't know how old this trailer is. I think the movie, I don't think it's out yet. I think it's supposed to be released sometime this summer. It'll be an independent release. But it's a horror spoof. And just like last week, I went on a tangent about Seltzer and Friedberg for making the Starving Games and all their stuff.
Yeah.
There is more effort into the jokes in this trailer than they've ever put into a movie.
It seems like when I was watching it, I thought, man, this is like the Edgar Wright trailer from Grindhouse.
It does feel kind of like it feels like a fake trailer, but it's funny and it's how you make a spoof.
It's very self-aware.
It's not. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's making a horror movie. That how to spoof a horror movie is you take all the cliches that are in horror movies. You take the bad dialogue. You take the cliched characters. And you make yourself aware of it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you have a spoof.
And really, nowhere was that done better than Scream, which people
Scream
don't think of
that
as a spoof.
Yeah.
But it plays with the tropes
yes.
of horror movies,
like,
which is what this trailer does.
And Black Dynamite took it to a little more, like they went a little more spoof. Like Bitch Slap kind of went a little more spoof. But that kind of leads into what I want to talk about is that the You Can't Kill Stephen King, all it is it's the trailer itself says six stereotypical characters mm-hmm. or cliche characters. And it's just the trailer is just silly. Like it's basically telling you how bad it is. But they know it's like that. So it's like, that's how you spoof something.
That's the point, right.
Yeah, and you take like a movie from last year, Tucker and Dale versus Evil, where it takes the whole idea of, it's not necessarily a spoof movie, but it's spoofing the idea that, oh, you broke down in the woods and these hill jacks are out to kill you. it takes that premise and just makes an awesome, funny, like, it was just a good movie around it. And I think one of the best, I don't want to call it a spoof movie, but it was born out of the spoof mentality, was Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon. Because that takes the cliches of, like, oh, how's Jason do all this stuff? How's Freddy do all this stuff? And it humanizes it. It then makes it a really good movie in the process.
Yeah, they went, so instead of a direct spoof, it's more of a mockumentary, but that's kind of a subgenre of, like, the same idea we're talking
about.
That's
how you should be spoofing stuff, is take something that is right, it's there for spoofing, and just make yourself aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil is an awesome movie. It could fall under that category. Behind the Mask, Black Dynamite, Bitch Slap, like, those are all well done. Whereas these fucking Seltzer Friedberg movies, there's no effort or thought put into them, and they're so frustrating, because these movies, like You Can't Kill Stephen King, which I can't vouch for how good it is. I've only seen the trailer, but nobody's going to see it. Like, it's not going to get...
It won't get the wide release that that Meet the Spartans got, and that's unfortunate, but that is, you know, kind of the nature of the movie business. Sometimes you get to see movies, and sometimes you got to seek them out. That's it for our trailers. We're going to do some rapid-fire headlines. One movie that you're going to have to wait till November of 2013 to see is Gravity.
I am pissed. It was supposed to be out in November this year. Now it's bumped to 2013. They haven't given a date, but it's looking like it'll be November of 2013. The studio has a bunch of stuff coming out already this year. Sandra Bullock's going to have a lot of Oscar talk about this movie. I've waited so long for a new Alfonso Cuarón movie. I don't want to wait any longer, but I'm so excited for this movie. Also moved up a month. Gangster Squad moved from October 12th to September 7th. And that goes in. I'm going to tell you why that's a bad idea. Lawless moved from Friday to Wednesday. It's now opening on 8/29 instead of 8/31. So the following week after Lawless, which is going to be this John Hillcoat, very well acted,
You're on record as saying you're going to like Lawless a lot. Gangster Squad, you're not as sold on.
And they're going to be compared.
Yeah.
They're
very similar.
They're period pieces. Mm-hmm. They're crime movies.
Ensemble casts.
Exactly. And I think if Gangster Squad fails to deliver, which I think it will, and Lawless delivers as well as I think it will, they're going to be so close together that it's going to kill Gangster Squad.
Yeah, I would guess you're probably going to be right, although the one thing I would say going for Gangster Squad is maybe some of the people involved in that movie are a little bit more household names than Lawless, so that might help.
Yeah, but you're going to have Shia LaBeouf, and you're going to have Tom Hardy post-Dark Knight.
Yeah, that's true.
Like a month and a half after Dark Knight, so...
Well, we'll see what happens on that.
Yeah. D.V. DeVincentis to write The Night Stalker for Edgar Wright, Johnny Depp. That Disney movie that Edgar Wright's been brought on to star Johnny Depp off the old TV show.
Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy to star in a buddy cop movie directed by Paul Feig.
I see it. I like Melissa McCarthy getting these kind of roles. I think Sandra Bullock is good in that kind of comedy.
She's funny. She's done comedies before. Yeah, I think. It'd be good to see her kind of do something a little bit more in the comedic vein, which, you know, there was a while where that's kind of
all
where
she did. Like, I wasn't as nuts about Bridesmaids as everybody else. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was fun.
I didn't think it was as spectacular as it was made out to be, but I think it'll be cool. How many female buddy cop movies do you see? So I'm definitely. Paul Rudd continues to work through NBC Thursday Night female co-stars as he starts filming Admission, co-starring Tina Fey, directed by Chris Weitz.
Absolutely down with that. Paul Rudd seems like he's a funny dude. He's in funny movies, and seems like he gets paired a lot of times with the funniest ladies that are out there. And I really can't think of too many off the top of my head that are funnier than Tina Fey. I watch her read the telephone book. I don't give a shit.
And I like Chris Weitz. He's solid. About a Boy was really good.
So three thumbs up. We'll probably go see that. Another director that we probably both like, I would say, is David Wayne. Max Greenfield is joining his cast for They Came Together.
This is another spoof movie. This is spoofing romantic comedies, but this is Max Greenfield, who he was on Veronica Mars. He was on Greek. Now he's on New Girl, like killing it on New Girl. Like, his character's so good. So I'm just excited to see him get a movie role like this. Like, to be in this movie that's going to be a major release with Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler. But I'm excited about that. It's been long been rumored, long been talked about. Sin City 2, A Dame to Kill For, finally gets a release date. We'll be seeing that in October of 2013.
Looking forward to it. I thought when the original Sin City came out, I didn't really get into the graphic novel. I still really haven't gone back and read the graphic novel, but I thought the original Sin City was so good. I thought it was going to be kind of a neat movie, but the way it turned out just absolutely blew me away, and I've been looking forward to this for quite a while. I'm just afraid that it's been so long that I don't think it's going to be there for the sequel.
And this is where studios screw up, is that the first one was so good and such a big hit, and then Grindhouse kind of fell flat, and that they took as Robert Rodriguez being like poison and not being able to carry it when you just had this big success. So you're going to let Grindhouse kill Sin City 2, and that's why it's been so long. But also, David Yates, director of the last three Harry Potter movies, exits Your Voice in My Head, which would have been a reunion between him and Hermione, as Emma Watson set to star in that. Isabel Fuhrman from Hunger Games, and she was the 40-year-old dwarf hooker in Orphan, to star in David Gordon Green's Suspiria remake. Janet McTeer, Michael Nyquist, and Isabella Huppert also cast. I'm excited for this.
Pissed.
I know Suspiria doesn't need to be remade.
Nope.
But David Gordon Green, he's so good. A lot of people just remember him from Pineapple Express and Your Highness. Before that, go back and watch George Washington or Undertow or All the Real Girls or Snow Angels. Like, these are really good movies. Like, he's not just an action comedy director. He's one of the most capable directors out there. This has been his baby. He's wanted to do it forever. I think he'll pull it off.
You know, I don't know. Sometimes when directors have those projects that they're going to remake a movie that is, you know, meant so much to them, sometimes they do it well. Sometimes Rob Zombie remakes Halloween.
Yeah.
And I really think, I mean, to me, Halloween is almost a perfect movie. It should never be touched. Suspiria, excellent as well. I cannot imagine that movie done any other way. I can't see it without the Goblin score. There's no way that they're going to be able to satisfy me with this movie.
Have you seen any of David Gordon's Green work before Pineapple Express?
Probably, no, I don't think I have.
They are, if you watch, you'll have a completely different outlook of David Gordon Green if you watch.
It has nothing.
George Washington is a phenomenal movie with a great story that gets pretty dark but keeps it going with character development. I think he's perfect for Suspiria.
It has nothing to do with the director. I don't think they could. I mean, even unless if they said, hey, Dario Argento is going to remake Suspiria, I would say, pissed, no. Leave it alone. There are so many shitty horror movies that you can remake. See Maniac. Remake those. Just leave the good ones alone. We didn't need a Halloween remake. That was terrible. We don't need a Suspiria remake. That was terrible. We didn't need a Nightmare on Elm Street remake. That was terrible. Stop.
I'm excited for it. Another movie I'm excited for. Alan Ball's What's the Matter with Margie just got its Margie this week as Elizabeth Banks joins the cast.
Fantastic. I will see Elizabeth Banks in anything.
Especially this kind of role. This is so far removed from the stuff she's been. Like, this is going to be a dark movie. She kind of goes nuts. I think this will be awesome for her. Like, this is going to be a good role for her. It's going to be a major release with Alan Ball's name attached to it. Should get her a lot of attention. Another big name, Greg Mottola, adapting The Marriage Plot. He may also direct it. He's also in talks to direct Larry David in a semi-improvised movie.
All you got to do is say Larry David, semi-improvised, and I'm willing to give it a try. I think that'd be great. And I liked Superbad, and I didn't mind Adventureland.
I thought Adventureland was super underrated.
Yeah, probably.
And like The Marriage Plot, the book, it's not something I'd be interested in, but if he's also directing it, I think it could be a solid movie with a lot of heart. I'm not as big on Larry David, but I'll see it. Morgan Freeman joins fellow old guys Robert De Niro and Michael Douglas in Last Vegas.
It almost seems like, okay, we've got Robert De Niro, Michael Douglas, we got a couple old guys, we need another old guy, but we need a black old guy.
Yeah.
Where are we going to go?
This is coming to be like Michael Douglas's bucket list.
Oh, Jesus.
Channing Tatum in talks to keep the White House up and White House down.
Of course, why wouldn't he be? He's going to be in in a movie about the president, and he's going to be a movie in a movie where he's a stripper. Those are absolutely, why wouldn't you have that guy be in both movies?
I like Channing Tatum now. I'm a big fan of Channing Tatum since 21 Jump Street.
I was going to say, since when?
Eli Roth making his long unawaited return to directing with The Green Inferno.
Can I be perfectly honest? Some of Eli Roth's stuff I don't hate.
I enjoyed Cabin Fever. I thought Cabin Fever was fun.
That's what I was really talking about.
Hostel I thought was garbage.
Didn't care for Hostel. I think, personally, he's probably a bit of a douchebag. But, you know, I liked Cabin Fever, and he's not made too much stuff after that that's made me say, I'm off this guy. So I'm willing to give him a chance. We'll see what happens.
Speaking of somebody else you'll give a chance, John Cusack joins Elijah Wood in Grand Piano, otherwise known as Speed on a Piano instead of a Bus. It's a movie where Elijah Wood is a concert pianist, and he has to keep playing at a high level or else him and his family die.
And that's another one. It almost seems like we're just going to spin the wheel. We've got a movie about a pianist. We've got a family death movie. I don't even know like if that's a genre. But
like, most of these sound like I'm making them up, but sadly, I'm not. Speaking of not lying, Daniel Radcliffe wants to be Del Toro's Pinocchio. Del Toro eyes Tom Waits and Christopher Walken. As we mentioned last week, Del Toro's doing a stop-motion Pinocchio movie.
That apparently wouldn't scare the shit out of you enough, so they thought, well, let's put in Tom Waits and Christopher Walken, then you won't be able to sleep for years.
New Pee-wee Herman movie is very close to filming, according to Pee-wee Herman.
All for that.
Produced by Judd Apatow, written by Paul Rust.
I think the thing with Pee-wee is now some of the guys that are, you know, of our vintage that grew up on Pee-wee are now the guys that are writing and making movies.
Exactly,
so of course,
yeah,
Pee-wee's going to get his shot now, and I think it'll be great.
Joel Edgerton to star in Felony, written by Joel Edgerton. I'm happy about this because I think Joel Edgerton needs to be a star. Where America wanted to make Sam Worthington this next great Australian movie star, they should have been paying attention to Joel Edgerton. He's been making crappy movies, but he's doing well in his crappy movies to keep getting acting jobs. And I think he's going to be, within 6 months, he's going to be one of those household names.
A guy that is a household name is John Woo, and he's going to be unleashing his Day of the Beast.
A remake of a Yakuza movie. I'm excited. I don't like John. I don't think I've seen a John Woo movie, to be honest with you.
You know what? It's been quite a while for me, but his movies, he definitely has a style, and you're either down with it or you're not. And it doesn't matter.
I'm usually not.
I guess not. That's really all we need say about that. James Badge Dale is going to be the villain in Iron Man 3, and I know you're down with Jimmy Dale.
You know, you may know him from Shame. He was Michael Fassbender's boss. Solid. I think he'll be good. That cast is shaping up okay. Speaking of a cast that's not shaping up okay, Taylor Lautner to star in Tracers, a parkour thriller.
You know, first couple times I read that, I thought he was going to star in Trancers, which is going to be a remake of another shitty movie from the 80s. And I was about to say, there is no way I could want to watch this less. And then I read that it's a Tracers, a parkour thriller. And I actually don't mind parkour.
I love parkour.
I like watching guys act a fool.
I don't want to watch Taylor Lautner do anything.
No.
But yes, if you think that's the stupidest headline you'll ever hear,
and certainly it has
you were
to be
wrong. As
as there is a dumber one.
Red Bull is funding a 3D parkour action take on Oliver Twist.
Right, because just having a parkour movie would be stupid. It needs to have a hook. And what's going to bring in the parkour kids like
Orphans.
Oliver Twist? Exactly. Jesus Christ.
I want to make an action reboot of Rip Van Winkle. Rip Van Winkle. Here's my pitch. Rip Van Winkle falls asleep. 100 years go by. We have world peace. The armies dissolve. Nobody learns how to fight. Nobody has to fight because we're a peaceful society. Alien invasion. Rip Van Winkle, who was an army sergeant, wakes up. He's the only one that knows how to fight, leads all these nobodies against these aliens. That's your action Rip Van Winkle reboot.
Oh, I kept waiting for
that. So it's basically Demolition Man.
I kept waiting for the parkour twist, and it never came. What will be coming to the theaters next week, a couple movies, the found footage Chernobyl Diaries flick, Moonrise Kingdom will be out in 4 cities. And, of course, Men in Black 3.
I think this is the week the Avengers take second place.
I think you're right, and I think that our entire country is going to go in the shit can if Men in Black were to bomb.
Yeah, I'm setting the over-under at, let's say, $53 million, and I'll take the over. I really think Will Smith's going to pull in like 60-some million opening weekend. I think it'll be about what the Avengers made this weekend.
I guess I'm going to take the under, just to be contrarian. I don't know how solid I feel about that, but you know, maybe I'll say that people are over Men in Black and they just don't give a shit anymore.
I think they're over Men in Black. I don't think they're over Will Smith.
Will Smith.
We haven't had a fun Will Smith movie in a while, have we? Like, I'm blanking right now. I don't remember a fun Will Smith movie in the past few years.
No, because I mean, Hancock, I guess, really wasn't a fun movie.
It did well. Like, Will Smith is box office gold. And I don't think people care about Men in Black, but I think they care enough about him that they'll go see it. And I think it'll open strong. I think it'll... Plus, it's a holiday weekend, so...
So, Men in Black, The Avengers, what'll be third?
I don't know what interest there is in Chernobyl Diaries. They're promoting it well. It's promoted, but I just...
It'll be the horror movie that's out.
Yeah, but who's... I don't know what the market is for that right now. Mm. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if even Battleship is number 3. And I wouldn't be surprised if like 3 through whatever are in the 10 to 15 million range and they're just...
That make combined with, what Men in Black...
Yeah, made. That they're all within just a couple million. So I think Chernobyl will be like 4th or 5th.
So basically what we're saying this weekend is like if you want to see Men in Black, knock yourself out. If you don't, it's slim pickings. Dave, what is your pick for coming to DVD... or coming to your Netflix.
It's not coming. It's been on Watch This for a while. It's a little film called Donkey Punch that I spoke about earlier. Honestly, it's a really good movie. Like it takes you where you don't expect to go.
The ass.
It's so surprising. If you go into it just watching a movie called Donkey Punch, I think you'll be surprised because it's actually really good. It's well-crafted. And like I said, it's got one of the coolest death scenes I've ever seen in movies.
My pick for the week, I don't think you're going to be surprised at all at what you see. I haven't seen it yet. It will be premiering at 9 o'clock on Sci-Fi Saturday, so you know it's going to be tremendous. Super Shark. That's right, folks. I am saying that you should all stay home. Don't go see Men in Black. Don't go see Battleship. Sit your ass at home, have a adult beverage or two, and watch Super Shark, which I can only imagine is about a giant shark. That's how negative I am with everything that's coming out this week. And on DVD this week, not a whole lot to write home about either. So just watch Super Shark. The movie's going to suck. You know it's going to suck. But after watching the Battleship clone that came out last week... on the Sci-Fi Channel, sometimes it really surprises you just how poorly movies can be made.
Oh, yeah. So watch Donkey Punch, watch Super Shark, watch Stomp the Yard. 3 really good movies that'll be worth your time.
Probably all equally.
Yeah. I think that about does it for us for this week, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that wraps it up, except for whatever you want to whore out this week.
I have another podcast called Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave.
Is that any good?
I enjoy it. We write Battlestar Galactic fan fiction. I don't know how well into the universe you are, so you might be a little lost.
Me?
But
how far I am into your universe or the actual BSG universe?
It's all the same. But yeah, that's at ericanddave.com. And I'm Twitter at Dave Basella. That's pretty much all I need to say right now.
Fair enough. That's going to do it for us here on Movies On Up, episode R4-D3. Tune in next week for episode R5-D4. That sounds like a Mighty Ducks movie, and we can only hope that it would be as good. Yep, that's it for us. Keep it up.